Man is only 90% water. On the hour is 100% news.
On the hour.
Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
Such is politics.
People can see with blinding clarity.
I know that it's better to light a candle than curse the darkness, but it's better still to switch on the electric light.
On the hour with Christopher Morris.
Well, I must say, directly beneath the lid,
the headlines.
Oblong planet proves time is yellow, say physicists. The LTA reveal how skill will return to tennis with the introduction of the new single-sided racket. And in the financial world, the markets crash after the Chancellor is found chewing the AQ.
On the hour.
Plus, coming up, charity Duchess Elizabeth Taylor reveals the horrors of her new throat infection.
It made me feel unwell. At this moment of time, you'll probably guess from the way I'm talking to you, not particularly able to cope with the problem.
And John Major unveils his keynote vision for tomorrow's Britain.
A classless society is a society that has a drab, uniform choice, that whatever it may be, where everything is entirely the same. That is what I mean by a classless society.
But first, the news. New plans for schools to fight for pupils have been announced by the Department of Education today. The proposals, designed to introduce new levels of competition, require headmasters to fight each other on the school playing fields for the right to teach bright children. In the event of neither headmaster smashing the other one's face in, the contest will be decided with a full-scale pitch battle in which whole schools will wage war on each other over a period of several days. The winner will be the school which ends up with fewer dead.
News update.
And we've just heard that Prince Edward will be executed today. The decision follows months of speculation that the Queen's youngest son was not up to standard, and the palace may have been forced into their decision when the press obtained copies of Edward's recent low reading on the palace's royalty meter. Our reporter Debden Dubley is outside the palace watching the gathering crowds.
I'm outside the palace now watching the gathering crowds.
Debden Dubley watching the gathering crowds.
On the hour, rich pickings at the media events interface.
The Ministry of Defence has today announced the purchase of a single new weapon which will render the rest of the nation's defences redundant. Even now, details of the machine are shrouded in secrecy, but it is rumoured to be ready for service today. And we've managed to get hold of the manufacturers, Posman Whitby Munitions. They're on the telephone now. Hello?
Concord, good evening.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sorry.
Is the machine ready to go?
Is the machine? What machine?
The new machine ordered by the Ministry of Defence.
Ah, no, you've got the wrong company, sir. We've got nothing to do with the Ministry of Defence order. This is Concord Auto Services, a garage. Keep the number so that next time we will collect your car, service it, vacuum and wash it, and return it to you. Just give a call and ask for Phil Bartley, and any booking for servicing, repair, and any...
Right, I'm sorry, I think that was our defence correspondent, Martin Leite, who was lined up as our next commentator but one. We'll go to line two now, where I gather we are through to the weapons manufacturers, Posman Whitby.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Sorry?
Never mind. Now, can you just tell me, how much will the MOD be paying?
MOT? You got MOT as well?
They've ordered it, I believe.
Listen, service and part and labour is going to be about £65.
And has the new machine been tested?
Yeah, that one, the CO, you mean?
Pardon?
I got the machine, I can adjust the CO for you.
The CO?
Yeah.
Commanding officer?
Yeah.
General Beasley at the MOD.
The MOT?
These are precious seconds of news time. Perhaps you could speed up the rate of your response.
Listen, you come in here, I'll check the car and I'll give you a price, my friend.
Why the secrecy?
Eh?
I must press you on this.
Eh?
Can you tell me exactly how it will be used to wipe out the enemy in the event of war?
Ooh!
On the hour, leaves the apple to ripen on the bough, then harvests it at tremendous speed.
And a quick look at today's weather, brighter in the north than in the south. Like the people, Brian.
And the weather brighter in the north than in the south. like the people.
Time now for Alan Partridge with Sports Desk. And, Alan, will the weather be affecting today's sport at all?
This is Sports Desk. I am Alan Partridge. Tennis! Last night saw Gabriella Sabatini win the final of the Quartermans Challenge. I caught up with her soon after her triumph.
Gabriella, it's a great sort of honour for me to meet you at last, and got a lot of you on tape at home, a lot of videos that I can't help watching again and again. Nice to meet you. How do you feel? You've won the tournament. What do you feel about that?
Tired. it was difficult, and Steffi's obviously a great player, but on the day I won.
A lot of people say you won on the kind of catwalk as well, in a sort of a kind of a girl attractive in kind of way. I mean, no,
it just you know, Steffi's a great player, and it's just a question of who wins on the day.
Yeah, you're not an unattractive young lady, and you played a great game, certainly. Your tennis is good too, that's not unimportant, and I think you've done a lot of a big service to your country, all that kind of sort of the differences that have existed in the past. I'm sort of thinking maybe the General Galtieri. Have you ever met him?
No, I don't know what you mean exactly.
Well, it's just that General Galtieri is a bit of a tennis player himself, although he played tennis with people's heads, was the line I heard. Bit of a joke. I mean, he's gone now, it's behind us, we don't have to talk about that really. All the whole Falklands thing, I think, really needn't be raised. You won the match, you lost the Falklands, it must be some sort of compensation.
Huh. On the hour, choice morsels from a broad kitchen.
And I'm just hearing that the royal procession for the execution of Prince Edward is about to depart. Over now to Debden Jubilee at Buckingham Palace.
Well, yes, and what a heartwarming scene now greets the eye outside the palace. The huge crowd stretching away towards Admiralty Arch, hugging the mall, hugging it like a cross-section through a thickly cladded pipe, with the road as the pipe and the crowd as the cladding. That's what it is. And, you know, there's a great sense of joy here today. Joy, I suppose, for a young man who's finally found purpose and honour. One begins to swell with great pride and emotion at the mere thought. I know if I were a balloon, I would undoubtedly be a red one. And I think the same goes for my colleague, Peter Sisters Christmas, who's in the crowd at the moment talking to some of the many people who've been queuing here all night. Hello, Peter.
That's right. Now, hello there.
Hi.
You've been down here all night waiting. Has it been chilly?
Are you fine?
You've been out here all night waiting for the Prince, haven't you?
No, I haven't been up here.
Yeah. And you'll be waving at the Prince as he goes past?
I very much doubt it, because I've got so much to do at home.
But you're glad to see what's happening to him today, anyway.
Well, what is happening to him?
He's going off to be executed at Westminster Abbey.
Oh, is he? What Prince is that?
Edward.
Prince Edward? Oh, well, he'd be no loss. He'd be no loss. I'm afraid I'm a royalist, but where he's concerned, I'm a roundhead.
Why do you feel that way about him?
Well, first of all, he's a bit wishy-washy, isn't he? You know, he's not my idea of a... Perhaps I'm a little bit gung-ho, you know, having been 22 years in the army, but I think Edward's a little bit of a fairy, really.
Peter Sisters Christmas, an extremely broad thank you to you, Peter. And there's the word of command from the Sergeant-at-Arms. The landau now begins to move out, and the Prince is standing up. He acknowledges the crowd, who salute back, many of them waving enthusiastically with one arm, while the other describes sharp strokes across the neck and the tongue protrudes from a smiling mouth. Well, what about that? Proud moments, these, you know, and every one of them proud to be proud too.
And we'll return to the scene of this moving occasion as soon as Edward has been hauled all the way down Whitehall to his final appointment in Westminster Abbey.
On the hour.
Time now for a thought or two from Monsignor Trebe Lopez.
Last week I was on the hillside tending my flock of sheep, and I noticed that one of my sheep was missing, and I risked leaving the whole flock to rescue that one sheep which had fallen off a cliff onto a ledge and hurt itself quite badly. And, you know, that incident reminds me of the parable of the shepherd who noticed that one of his sheep was missing, yet left his flock to rescue it. Skip, O sheep, for God has provided you with shepherds.
And the speaker in thought for the day this morning was the Reverend Dr. John Newton, Free Church moderator for Merseyside. I was accused the other morning of saying Merseyside. Somebody wrote, is this a new ecclesiastical see? The time now is 8:08.
Now this week's On the Hour special feature. With only 32 weeks to go before Christmas, care for the elderly is causing concern on the agenda once more. None more so than in the Labour-run London borough of Harrington, where elderly care is the cause of concern. Our reporter Dawn Sentinel visited the Harrington Old, and her report opens with an appropriate song.
Where is love?
All right, Harry, how are you doing? You all right?
Is that Jenny?
Yes, hello.
Hello.
You all right? Now, look, I've brought some friends with me, Mick and Dave.
Hello, Mick.
Hello, Dave. Mick and Dave, and they're going to take you out on the streets, all right?
82-year-old Harry Thompson being evicted from his home, not by the bailiffs, but by the Labour-run Harrington Borough Council Social Work Department. Council leader Chris Collick explains why.
As you know, in the Borough of Harrington, we have had to abandon the Free Teeth at Christmas scheme, which was a very popular scheme. And we have replaced it by a scheme of rounding up elderly people, and we are taking them from their homes and putting them in boxes in the streets. The point is, John Major won't be sleeping out in a box this Christmas, you know, and that's the point that we're making. John Major won't be sleeping out, the Cabinet won't be sleeping out, but in Harrington, thousands of old people will be sleeping rough. And we want to know what the government are going to do about it.
Before I ask you a little more about your arrangements, may I just ask, will Chris Collick be sleeping out over Christmas?
I don't see the point in any more people suffering. Socialism is not about everybody coming down. It's about everybody going up to a certain level, but a level that isn't ridiculous.
What sort of arrangements have you made?
Well, the same as usual. I'll be staying with my mother in Leicester.
For the pensioners of Harrington, there will be some hope on Christmas Day. Luke Goswell, leader of the charity organisation The Christian Fist of Gratitude, has been leading the campaign to raise money for the elderly.
Although £37.50 has been raised numerically, there's a lot more that's been raised in people's hearts.
You've been asking people to donate toys. Doesn't strike me immediately what benefit toys would be.
No, what we've been asking people is to get all the toys, all the things they can think of, perhaps things that they don't particularly like, you know. So don't send any new toys. We want slightly damaged ones, obviously. But there's all kinds of things, a variety of stuff. There's mutant turtle things, He-Man figures. Someone yesterday gave me a calendar of the rock band Marillion, which is quite unusual. And all these things we'll give to the old people, and hopefully they can, I don't know, they can either hang them up or sell them.
There's going to be a rally, and this will be a march. Many, in fact all, of the old people will be marching too. And let me tell you, a lot of them are very old, and they don't want to march, but they'll be marching. And if they have to be physically carried, we will carry them, because we support those people. Some of them will be carried in their boxes, so we will symbolically burn a lot of these boxes. And maybe, you know, there could be some old people inside the boxes. Maybe, because we don't know what can happen.
You're going to burn old people at Christmas.
I'm not saying we are going to burn old people. I am saying that old people may burn.
There are all kinds of administrative things that have to be taken care of first before we can even start giving help to the elderly. For example, I visited Lourdes on behalf of the charity. That wasn't cheap, I can tell you. When I was over there, you know, I went in search of answers. I asked questions at the grotto. Like, the question asked, I'll tell you, the question asked was, Jesus, what am I going to do? And he said, well, go back and have another think about it. And I did that. And that was money well spent.
But 82-year-old Harry Thompson has his own vigil, a vigil with a box at midnight.
Right, we got the box then, lads?
Yep, yeah, right, here we
okay,
go.
Okay, all right, Harry, we're off then. You coming? Come on.
Come on, mate.
Come on, my old trooper.
Come on.
You're not at the bridge. There's a lot of traffic, a lot to do then.
All right,
bye, house.
Bye.
Dawn Sentinel with that disturbing report.
On the Hour, holding up a net in the strong breeze.
And just ahead of the time, let's join the continuity announcer to find out about programmes later today on Radio 4.
At 10:45 this morning, there's another chance to eavesdrop on the Welsh.
I don't think Swansea is very Welsh, really.
No,
not really Swansea. Very Welsh.
There's no Welsh sound
it's
in
not,
the
It's Swansea. Not ever so Welsh, no.
There's no hair in Swansea.
No. But I tell you one thing. When I was a kid, our Christmases in Cardiff, this is a very Welsh thing, we always used to have a tree. Always had a tree.
We had one too, and it was really? Very nice, part of a tradition. And we didn't have knees in those days.
That's the Welsh at 10:45, and an hour and three quarters before that at 9 o'clock, it's time to call Nick Ross.
Good morning. John Major says he won't. Neil Kinnock says he might. Paddy Ashdown says they must. It's been called venereal TV. But nowadays, almost every week seems bad for British Rail. People who can't see or hear or move or even think. But do you want full-scale electoral reform? Or is it bonkers? Is it daft to try to legislate disabilities away? What's your experience of train travel and what can put things right? If William Kennedy Smith was on trial in Britain, should you and I be able to tune in? Do you think your journeys then would be safer, more reliable and pleasant? Do call.
That's Call Nick Ross at 9 o'clock this morning on Radio 4. Today at 9 o'clock this morning with Nick Ross on Call Nick Ross. Today on Radio 4. Produced by Nick Utekin.
And just ahead of the weather, there's an SOS message for a Mr. Robert Smithson, currently being buried in Yorkshire. Could you please return home immediately? You're perfectly all right.
Pause while we just think about real ale. The time is coming up to 7:55.
And now just 7 seconds for the weather. Chester Mint at the London Weather Centre. It's been something of an appalling week, hasn't it? We've needed hats and coats and woolly scarves to protect ourselves against the somewhat torrential downpour that we'd experienced. In fact, I remember that Wednesday was an umbrella day, was it not? Any chance of a change?
Starting in the south.
Lift off! This is On the Hour. Wake up and smell the news. Coming up, the Coventry hairstylist who had a brush with the Pope.
He came in here and he knelt down over there and then out of the blue said, can I have a wash and rinse?
And in that context we use the word brush in the sense of encounter and how time is running out for all of Derbyshire's cats.
There's nearly 2,000 of them in there and if something isn't done soon, someone is going to switch on the crusher.
But first news, it was disclosed this evening that for 48 hours last month, Argentina's affairs of state were in the hands of a 42-year-old bricklayer from Durham. Todd Gallagher, who had been queuing with other tourists to see President Carlos Menem, finally walked into the head of state's chamber to find him slumped dead over his big desk. Using his initiative, Gallagher took up the reins of office and ran the country single-handed while diplomats used the telephone to talk him through complex trade negotiations with the International Bank and a series of billion-dollar arms deals before a successor to Menem was found. Gallagher was rushed to hospital after his ordeal, but has vowed to have another go as soon as he's fully recovered.
Abroad.
And if you imagine On the Hour as a little man standing on the British mainland who's just cast his net as far as America, then he could probably do the next bit left-handed, since it's to Europe we go for Euro news with Eurospondent Jacques Off, le premier type sur Radio Wow FM.
Sur l'heure, Euro Nouvelle avec Jacques Off.
Ok, et hyper bonjour, je suis Jacques Off, le premier type sur Radio Wow FM, avec tous les rock et tous les rôles, le maximum time check et les nouvelles. Je suis l'homme avec le doigt sur les légumes. Les étoiles du monde. Showbiz. Aujourd'hui, la nouvelle exclusive du Maxi Punch Up des personnalités cinématiques à Cannes. La grande bif a commencé avec un contretemps entre Jean-Michel Jarre et Brigitte Bardot. Monsieur le keyboard conduisait son Cadillac le long du promenade quand tout de suite un des chiens de Brigitte a couru au milieu de la rue et fouac, l'animal était mâché dans la grille de radiateur. Vraiment, la voiture a été un bitch magnet, hein? Et en face de cette tragédie, la Brigitte qui venait de visiter au séjour plastique pour sa 9e ascension de visage a crié « Monsieur Aperture de derrière, allez-vous faire en compilation avec vous-même ?» Furieux, le musicien a fait le maxi wig-out. Il est descendu de son automobile, a couvert les cheveux pubiques de Brigitte avec SO Blue et lui a donné le flambé de Beauvoir. C'était le signal pour Kirk Douglas, toujours le salaud, de se jeter au milieu de fracas et kick-ass. Puis Gérard Depardieu, se croyant le peacemaker, a crié « Arrêtez au nom du pape !» Et tout le monde ont répondu « Taisez-vous, grande blouse de fille !» Et lui ont battu jusqu'au milieu de la semaine prochaine. Les politiciens se biffaient aussi. Monsieur Le Pen était naté par Jacques Delors et toute la nuit, les célébrités se soquaient et s'en frappaient la merde. Et heureusement, il y avait seulement une morte qui était venue ce paradis, qui était tuée et mangée par les chiens de Brigitte Bardot. Sur l'heure, Euro Nouvelle avec Jacques Oeuf.
Oh voilà, Jacques Oeuf.
And back home now to our live coverage of the execution of Prince Edward. Debden Dubley is in Westminster Abbey awaiting the start of the ceremony.
And so the Archbishop, wearing the white robes of dispatch, prepares to make the declaration of innocent remorse.
I, slave to God, chief hound to your majesty's kennel, do tender my remorse in the headstand of perfect sorrow.
He now delivers the rest of his address, upside down.
Dear Lord, turn not the fearful corrugation of thy frown upon my unworthy lid, but accept the innocence of my office as I paddle my feet in the anguish of odious necessity.
The bishop waves his legs about, sadly.
And so I pray. God power my plunging blows. Amen.
And with an elegant backflip, the bishop stands again to collect the tools of execution. The bodkin that lanced King Henry VIII, the chalice of amyl nitrate, and the bludgeon of Thomas a Becket. And now we await the merciful act. Oh, and that's a shame. The congregation heard it too, yes. Quite clearly, at the very last moment, the boy yelped, and that means, of course, that he can't now be buried in consecrated turf, but must be left on a hillside in Scotland.
And I'll have to interrupt you there, Debden. I know you can't hear me, but when you fail to hear your own voice being relayed from the microphone into your headphones, you'll realise we have wrested control of the broadcast. That incident, of course, plunges us into constitutional crisis. I'm not even sure if we're allowed to carry on broadcasting. Brian, do you know?
I don't think Bad Light should have been allowed to stop the play at the Oval. Do you remember the one at Old Trafford where they played till 9 o'clock and David Hughes went on and said to Jackie Bond, if I can see it, I'll hit it, and scored 24 off the final over and they've won.
Well, I'll take that as a yes. Time now for Rosie May with Green Desk.
Green Desk.
Green news update from me, Rosie May.
Smoking is good for the environment and for smokers too. For many years, doctors have told us that smoking is bad for us. However, it isn't. It is good for us and the environment.
Green Desk.
Silly string is a danger to our society and would be banned under a Liberal Democrat government. The popular string-like novelty has come under fire from Liberal Democrat leader Paddy Ashdown. He says if the silly string were squirted at a child or old person from close range, it may go in their hair. Paddy continues that this almost happened to him once, but using his SAS training, he was able to dodge it, and luckily, it just sort of went on the floor.
Green Desk.
This is Sports Desk. This is Alan Partridge. Badminton. The international badminton event starts tonight, and Britain's hopes rest with two talented Ipswich girls, Jo Berrington and Cathy Long. I caught up with them near the net.
Tell me about the game. You feel good about it?
Well, we won.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really good game. They were very thorough, but we gave them a good game and we're very pleased.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just watching you. You look great. It's you've got to admit, there's a bit of kind of comedy and a bit of sort of humour, and you've got to have a sense of humour when you're playing a game that you use a shuttle. What is it? A shuttle what?
A shuttlecock.
Yeah, yeah. But I suppose you get that all the time. You're probably bored of it.
Bored of what?
Cock.
Oh, I see, right.
Ooh, you know, shuttlecock.
Yeah.
No, we don't. No, people don't really mention that very much.
It's no, they don't really.
It's not called
really
a cock, it's a shuttlecock. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not really that funny.
Yeah. Doubles. Do you like playing doubles?
I think we like playing together, really. We've got
playing
a lot of rapport.
Playing with each other.
Absolutely,
so
yeah. I mean, we've got, it's a good team. Joe can do the things I can't do, and I can do the things that Joe's not so hot on.
Yes. Yes. So listen, you're there, you're in the shower. I mean, bit of horseplay, I guess, must happen now and again.
Oh, yeah, a lot of joking about.
Around.
You know, get the bubble bath out.
The old wash and go jokes, you know, all that stuff.
Yes, wash and go, yeah. I wouldn't mind watching that, yeah. Sometime.
You'll have to come and join us sometime, Alan.
Yeah.
Right, well, I'd like to. When?
Oh, well, anytime you like, you know. It's open, Alan,
come on, when?
When's our next match, then?
Next Saturday.
Yeah, Milton Keynes next Saturday. See you there.
Should I meet you in the changing rooms, or what? Should I just go meet you after the pitch, or after the match?
You're talking about for an interview.
You know, for the showers, like you said. In the
you want to come into our showers after the match?
Yeah, you just said, didn't you?
Yeah, but we were joking.
Oh, come on, you know.
No, you come on. What are you saying? You want to come into our showers and watch our shower? Is that what are you?
I'm just trying to be friendly, that's all.
Yeah.
Just
having
a bit of a joke.
You know, it's a professional interview. We were told. Yeah,
it
that's
is
what
a professional
we were told.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you, mate? I think that's a question you need to ask
yourself.
No, I mean,
what's wrong with you?
Terry, get this man out of here, would you?
Oh, a couple of spunky ladies.
On the hour, never balks at issues from which other news programmes might well shrink.
And I gather now that the royal family is about to emerge onto the balcony. Debden Jubilee is fairly proximal to this exegesis. And here they come. The crowd has brought the family out for the traditional wave. They're shouting for the prince. We want Ed, they say. And here he comes. Yes, there it is. The corpse waves, its arm being wagged furiously by Prince Harry. Well done him. And don't forget the head, of course. In the past, it would have been tossed into the crowd. But this week, as we know, it's being offered as the star prize in the Times Royal Spot the Head competition, using exclusive pictures from today behind the Abbey screen.
The prize of the century. Prince Edward's head in your choice of three consumer durables. Ed in a bottle, a beautiful ornament and a touching tribute. Ed's head is suspended in green oil and filled with a variable buoyancy gas for restful bobbing. The ultimate facelift. Ed's face is lifted off, rubberized and adapted to fit your dog. Down, Ed, down. Or you may prefer the patent desktop Edhead stamp licker with protuberant tongue and saliva reservoir for family contributions. Edhead, tomorrow, only in the Times.
And that's it. 934 years ago today, Macbeth was killed in battle. I thought you would like to know that. Good morning.
Closing music.
And just time to cruise the headlines in tomorrow's papers. Horizontal tourist floats out of fridge. That's the Times. The Sun go with Hello Kids bellows flattened toad, while octogenarian fire eater in frazzled hat mistake is the lead in the Hackney Ruler. The Express have No one can repossess my choir, cries vicar, as bailiffs repossess choir. And the Wheeler cartoon in tomorrow's Independent has a picture of the Home Secretary saying British justice is now fairer than ever, and the caption, no it's not, it's badly in need of review. That's it. I may be going, but in news, of course, there is no maybe. So yes, going I most definitely am.